going on, everybody? Happy Tuesday. Welcome to another edition of Mean Streets presented by So Rare right here on Game Plus Network, also live on our FTN Network YouTube page. Chris Meany hanging out with you on this Tuesday. Hopefully everybody had a fantastic Monday and they are ready to get after today. 12 games on the ice tonight in the NHL. Dengel Batzeli is already live on our FTN Network YouTube page, also coming your way on Game Plus Network. We rolled through all 12 games. I do have a couple picks and some props for you guys as well. But FTNBets.com is your friend, and we have free three-day trials over at FTNBets.com and FTNDaily.com if you're looking to be part of the family. And why not? Tis the season, right, for sports. We talk about it all the time here in the month of March. It's all happening. Madness show heavy today with our guy, Mike Randall. But if you're looking for all the picks, you're looking for a little bit of DFS action, we have the NHL article already live, 12 games over there. You got the NBA Optimizer, PGA Optimizer, Valspar happening this weekend. It's all happening over at FTNBets.com and FTNDaily.com. So check out both websites running the three-day free trial. And if you like what you see, you can use promo code Meany, save yourself a little bit of cash, and re-up with us. But you will like get a lot of the projections. We have a bunch of madness content. I mean, it is a lot of content. We got a lot of sharp minds over there. So we got, you know, breakdowns of regions and games and upsets. And we have a lot of cool tools as well. Shout out to our guy, Frank Bank, a.k.a. It's actually Frank Brank, but I call him Bank because all he does is win people cash and win people money. We've had him on the show a couple times, and hopefully we can chop it up again soon with the MLB show. MLB just around the corner. Man, what a shellacking yesterday. Team USA had their way with Team Canada. Pretty easy. That game was over pretty early. 9 runs in the first inning. My goodness, that was a butt-whooping for sure. But it's all happening over at FTNBets.com. So today we are going to bring in Mike Randall. We're going to break down basically the entire tournament. Now, we only have a few minutes in the entire show, so we won't be able to break down every matchup. But Randall's got a college basketball show, the college basketball betting show, and he's got a couple shows coming your way today. If you're subbed for free on our FTN Network YouTube page, you've been following Randall all year. You know how successful he has been with college basketball picks. So we have his show. We have the College Basketball Super Show from Walter Waddell. And tomorrow we are going to bring in Waddell and Mike Kuchary, and we are going to roll through every region again. We're just going to keep it simple, look for player props, players to keep an eye on, because those guys are really great in the player prop market. So we will be talking about a lot of players, whether you play college basketball DFS or some props and things like that, players to keep an eye on. And we will hammer home some upset picks with those two guys as well. And something I wanted to tell you, Let's Go Means, the Madness Daily Handle is in the house. He's a big college basketball fan. He's probably got like 17,000 brackets on the go. I'm just kidding. I know you're very in tune with the sport, but we are running a free March Madness bracket as well. Link inside the description of this video if you want to hang out and you know, pick a bracket with us. Enter for your chance to win some FTN swag. Now, I can't pull the FTN hat off as well as Randall or our guy George, but you got some multicolors there, some tees, some sweaters, presented by So Rare, of course. Mean Streets, we're happy with the new partnership, but it is an ESPN bracket. Link inside the description. You can sign up for free and then show us how great you are. So not a lot of football talk here today on the show, but I do want to mention a couple things because we're starting to see some skilled players. Not that the defensive players aren't skilled. Believe me, they are. I really like what the Bears are doing, right? TJ Edwards, Tremaine Edmonds. I really like what the Chicago Bears are doing. Traded back, as we mentioned yesterday, a phenomenal trade. They got themselves a number one wide receiver, DJ Moore. Darnell Mooney, number two, you know, building around Justin Fields. Don't say that he can't play. Don't say that he can't pass. I don't want to hear it. Stop it. They are creating some weapons around him, and they're getting better defensively as well as they've been active. But a lot of the players that have signed have been some defensive players. Marcus Epps. I mean, the Eagles are losing players left, right, and center. Hargrave to San Fran, spent a lot of money on Hargrave. They also, the Eagles, that is, lost Marcus Epps, safety to Las Vegas, and also the Raiders just in this morning that they signed a contract with Jacoby Myers. Jacoby Myers, a 3-year, $33 million deal, $21 million guaranteed. And we didn't get to touch on Jimmy G, but I think we kind of felt like that was coming. There were two landing spots. We had the quarterback carousel article over at FTN Fantasy led by our editor, Daniel Kelly. And I do believe I nailed both of those. And I think, you know, the entire crew did. It was, you know, pretty easy to say that Derek Carr was going to go to New Orleans. They had met a couple times. You know, Dennis Allen, head coach with the Saints, drafted Derek Carr back when he was with the Raiders as well. It just seemed like a great relationship, right, between those two guys, and a good landing spot for Derek Carr. And then Jimmy G, you had him linked to, of course, Mike McDaniels. These guys are Josh McDaniels. These guys were together over in New England, the New England way, brought over here to Las Vegas, cut Derek Carr last year. System, it's complex. You hear it all the time from, you know, from people that have been in the system for years, former players. Heard Julian Edelman speak on it as well. But yeah, they have themselves a quarterback in Jimmy G. I don't know if they're going to draft a guy. I feel like they should draft a guy, but I feel like Josh is thinking that they can compete. They could use a lot of help on defense. Maybe they address an offensive lineman with that pick, or they take themselves a corner or a defensive player. Again, a lot of holes, but you know, it's coming together here now with Jacoby Myers and Davante Adams and Jimmy G, who is, has, say what you want, he has won a lot of football games. I don't think he has the highest ceiling. I think ultimately he's the reason that the Niners haven't won those big games, that, you know, even going back to games that they won in the playoffs against the Packers and twice against the Packers, one game against the Packers, I think he threw the ball 8 times, 6 completions. It was a Raheem Mostert 4-touchdown game. So he's been on some really good defenses. He'll probably be asked to throw the football a little bit more with the Raiders than he did with the Niners, but I do believe it's a good fit. And if they do decide that they're going to draft a quarterback, you know, it's a good guy, a good mentor that you can learn the system and learn a thing or two from Jimmy G. And most likely, like, I don't feel like Anthony Richardson is ready if it is Richardson that falls to them in the draft, or, you know, maybe Arizona trades back and then the Raiders don't go that route with the quarterback. Nonetheless, we do know that Jimmy G is going to be the starter for the Raiders as early as week 1 this season. And also, Alan Lazard, I don't think it's official, but all signs point to Alan Lazard signing with the New York Jets. What does this mean? Aaron, we're waiting. We are waiting for your decision, dude. What are you doing? Again, this is doing it all over again every single year. But Nathaniel Hackett, former OC with the Packers, is with the Jets. Alan Lazard, very familiar, clearly, with Hackett, now with the Jets. Now, what's the next domino? Is it Aaron Rodgers? I got a feeling like it is Aaron Rodgers. And I think that Elijah Moore will go the other way. Bringing in Lazard, Nathaniel Hackett doesn't have a history of running a lot of 3 wide receiver sets. Elijah Moore had a hard time getting on the field last year. They bring in Lazard. You got a stud in Garrett Wilson. I think that that's going to be the deal. You know, Elijah Moore is going to be part of the Aaron Rodgers trade. And I think it's a pretty nice core. You know, Jordan Love, you know, small sample size, but he had some nice throws in a couple games that he played last year. And then also, of course, he got Christian Watson. So Watson and Elijah Moore, it's not bad. It's okay. I'm not ready to close the book on Elijah Moore not being a good wide receiver. I've went too long here off the top. I know what we're here for. We're here for the madness breakdown. Mike Randall's in here next. Quick break. He's in here, and we're going to break down all the region to get some upset picks for you guys. And excuse me, final four as well from Randall. All that and more here on Mean Streets, presented by So Rare. Back in a couple. Hang tight. Welcome back in Mean Streets here live on Game Plus Network, or FTN Network YouTube page. Mike Randall hasn't slept in 7 days. Articles galore, shows galore. We got it all covered for you over at FTN Bets, FTN Daily, FTN Fantasy. Of course, we said off the top, we have a bracket. We'd love to have you guys part of the FTN bracket, and we are giving away some FTN swag for the top 5 in that bracket. Link inside the description of this video. And I just saw actually in the break that it looks like the Jets may get Randall Cobb as well. Let's bring in Nathaniel Hackett. Let's bring in Alan Lazard. Let's bring in Randall Cobb. And then we'll find out that Aaron Rodgers has got cold feet and he decides that he wants to stay with the Green Bay Packers. Who knows? But Randall, welcome in, dude. We are here to talk college basketball. Exciting time of the year, man, because all the sports are happening.
Chris, I get excited. I get heart palpitations when I get an invite from you to be on this show. Just have to quickly say something. I don't know where I stand on Aaron Rodgers here, because there is something that's sort of admirable about his loyalty to these players. But are we sure that Cobb and Lazard are going to help this team? Like, I don't know how this is going to go. I mean, if he doesn't come, this is a disaster. But all signs point to it. I love the loyalty. I do.
Yeah.
But, like, we're living and dying with Randall Cobb here. I mean, I get it, but let's take it easy. I think the Jets have some pretty good receivers.
They really do. And they're already priced like they have Aaron Rodgers. I think some books have them at 12-1 to win the Super Bowl. We know how loaded the AFC already is with a lot of really good quarterbacks. And Aaron Rodgers is 40. And he just arguably had his worst season ever. So I don't know. Proceed with caution. But anything is better than Zach Wilson. We are not here to talk any more NFL. We got you covered there as well. You know, free agency through the week. We got a college basketball show again here tomorrow. You got a couple lined up today. We have Walter Riddell pumping out college basketball content as well for the DFS people. I know he's always honed into the DFS content. So we have a lot of content for you guys, but I really wanted to pick your brain because you follow the sport so closely and you're always so in tune and your picks are fantastic. I need you to help me with my bracket. So that's why people are here. Where do you want to start? What region do you want to start? I'm going to give you the floor.
Chris, let's go with the South. Okay, so let's just go in the clockwise mathematical direction. We'll go with the South here, okay? The first reaction, what I like to do is I have a first reaction when the bracket comes out, and then I go into the lab and I go through the numbers and try to come out whether my initial reaction is accurate or not. This is a layup for Alabama at the top of this bracket. Maryland has been king of the little people. Love Bob Huggins in West Virginia, but I don't think they have enough offense to beat the firepower of Alabama. Alabama shoots threes, but Alabama this year has also defended at a high rate, Chris. They are long. They are talented. They switch all the screens. And remember, they have, for my money, the most impressive win this year. They went to Houston earlier in the year where Houston was never losing. And they were down 15 points in the second half and came back to win. They can battle on the boards. They can shoot the three. And yes, Brandon Miller, the off-court issues, obviously not going to talk about that. On the court, he may be the number one pick in one of the top picks coming into the draft besides Victor Wembanyama, who's not in college, of course. He is that good. So my initial reaction, top part of the bracket, it's Alabama. They're not losing. Put him into the Elite Eight.
Yeah, they are the number one seed overall. You mentioned Miller. Yeah, he's really created some steam in terms of his play on the court, of course. Maybe a second overall pick in the draft, if not the third overall pick. So is this, out of all the one seeds, is this the clearest path? And do you believe Bama is the best of all the teams here in this tournament?
It is the clearest path. Kansas completely got what I think was a bad draw because they are better than Houston. There is no metric that you can use where you would put Houston higher over Kansas so Kansas doesn't get to go to Kansas City. But yes, what we've seen, Chris, historically, is this is usually where Gonzaga is. Gonzaga gets that top seed and they have a very easy draw, but then they've struggled in the second round. Now you have Alabama, a power six team, star player, great coach in Nate Oates, great on the interior, guards the threes, does it all. And they're playing a Maryland, West Virginia, which I think would be the easiest second round matchup. That 8-9 matchup is always tricky for the one seeds, really is. Mm-hmm. In fact, historically, over the last 10 years, it's 50-50 against the spread in that matchup, 1 versus 8-9. But top part of the bracket, Alabama's going through. They are not losing to any of these teams. They're not.
What do you think about Teddy Boy's comment here saying that the SEC is overrated?
Yeah, you can say that it's overrated, but I don't think Bama's overrated. Find me another team that shoots over 37% from three, guards with the metrics they have, can switch all screens, has a big man in Bediako inside who's very serviceable, and a go-to late-game scorer in Brandon Miller. You don't have that. So yes, I get it. I do understand that. But how about all the years, Chris, we've talked about the Pac-12 being down and then UCLA makes a run. Remember, UCLA's last Final Four run, they were in the first four game against Michigan State a bunch of years ago. First four game, halftime of that game, Chris, they were down 10 points. So you go to the Tuesday games, which are happening tonight, and you look at that Mississippi State-Pittsburgh game and envision a few years ago, UCLA from the Pac-12 that everyone said was a weak conference, down 10 to Michigan State. Would you have predicted that they would have went to the Final Four? Probably not. So I get it. The SEC is down. Texas A&M got way, way underseeded. Totally ridiculous. And I still think Alabama, though, has an easy run here. I do.
Yeah, I really do as well. Let's bring up the region again here, Quan, and dive into some of these other matchups. So you mentioned Maryland and West Virginia. Those eight nine matchups are always very tough for me to call. And you know, from an odd standpoint, you look at a lot of the 8-9s, and it's basically just like a pick 'em or you know a basket here too. Which team do you give the advantage here to between Maryland and West Virginia?
West Virginia, because at one point, Bob Huggins, I believe, was 0-6 in the Big 12. but that's because the Big 12 is the best conference by far. I think they create enough turnovers. I think they'll find enough scoring. And I don't trust Maryland. I don't trust Kevin Willard. I think Kevin Willard is the type of coach that builds your program up to a certain level, and that's it. He's still living off the Seton Hall Big East Championship from a few years ago. He is not a big game coach. Everything points to West Virginia for me in this game, which would be a great second round game. It would be. And they give Alabama a game, but I don't think they're beating the Crimson.
There seems to be every year, like, trendy. Everyone wants the upset picks, of course, right? I mean, your bracket, you nail a couple upset picks, you seem to be on your way. And there's always, you know, some talk with the 11-6 and 12-5, but I'm hearing some, you know, some rumblings with Charleston. Are you feeling them as a potential upset here in this spot, or potentially NC State?
Such a great question, Chris, because everyone wants to pick the 5-12, but statistically, the 6-11 is the matchup that you really want to look at. 11s have covered against 6s far more higher than 12 over 5s over the last few years. Charleston is a great chemistry team. They're a great defensive team, but they rely on the three-pointer, and that's what San Diego State has been superb at defending this year. Where San Diego State is vulnerable is on the interior. That's not what Charleston does. I'm kind of shying away from this one. I don't think Charleston is beating San Diego State. You want to say they cover the number, which is around 5.5 and 6. I can get there for that, but I don't think Charleston is going to beat San Diego State. I think it's one that people are going the wrong way on.
And any concern here for some of the bigger dogs like the 2-3s and Baylor or Arizona? I feel like those two teams will move on. But who is the team that Bama you think will face when they get towards the end of this bracket into the Elite Eight?
Chris, I think it's Creighton. I don't trust Baylor. Baylor has been up and down all year. There is definitely, and this is narrative street, I get it, there is some dynamic going on with the freshman Keontae George and Adam Flagler and LJ Cryer. They played Oklahoma State a week and a half ago without Keontae George, played their best game of the season, looked fantastic. They have struggled on defense. They've struggled to rim protect. And George comes in, and he is the best player, but him and Flagler and Cryer just don't mesh. They are very vulnerable to a Gaucho team with Santa Barbara that almost beat Creighton, lost by 1 point a couple of years ago as a 12 seed. I like Creighton this year. NC State, they only had one quadruple win. People thought maybe they weren't even going to make the tournament. Creighton is deadly to me. I think they make a run. And the one team I'll warn you about, Chris, I do not like Arizona. Everyone's on Arizona. Folks, enough of Arizona. Their backcourt is not good. They're very volatile. They were blown out at home by Washington State. Kerr Creasa, who's a very cocky sort of in-your-face point guard, he's the kid with the girl with the curls. He can be great. He can be awful. He also has a shoulder injury, so he hasn't been scoring. Now, what about their off-guard? Courtney Ramey, shooter, had one basket against UCLA in the Pac-12 tournament. One basket. It happened to be a three-pointer with 10 seconds left, and they won the game. So my point is, Arizona doesn't get upset early because they have bigs inside, but their guard play is too sketchy for me. I don't see them going far. I do not have Arizona advancing to the Sweet 16 in any bracket that I have.
All right. Interesting. I love this stuff. And, you know, you mentioned George. We do like the name George on this show. Of course, he makes everything look so pretty for us, but he also put Arizona on. He does great work for us, but there's been an ongoing joke over the past couple of years. Whatever like player or a team he puts on a board just randomly does it himself, and we don't give him any advice. It's like a red flag. Like Bama's on this and it's fine. I don't think he's jinx Bama, but the other day he had the March Madness odds, like the tournament odds. And he had an Arizona player on there, and I was like, oh, that's it. They're
done. Yep. I don't, Chris, what you have to do is have your own philosophy at this point.
Yeah.
Teams that have quality bigs do not get upset in the first round. It's why North Carolina with Tyler Hansborough, remember him? They didn't lose in the first round, but you need to have guards to advance all the way through. Arizona does not have it. No one is talking about it.
Nobody is. So is that the surprise team, Creighton, out of that region? Is that the team that you feel like could be the surprise team that can go on a run? And who is the team that Arizona do you think could lose? Is it early as the second round that Zona could be bounced?
Yeah, I Princeton. Most people are betting Utah State in that matchup against Missouri. In fact, Utah State, Chris, is favored in that matchup despite being a 10 seed. I don't see it.
Yeah.
Dennis Gates has come over from Cleveland State, did a fantastic job there, has done amazing work with Missouri. What you have with Missouri are players, guards, that can turn the corner and beat you off the dribble. That's a nightmare for Utah State. Utah State, number one in the country in shooting three-pointers, but they don't have a lot of big wins on the road. They don't. They did beat a couple teams late within conference in the Mountain West, but Chris, Mountain West since 2016, 1-11 straight up in the NCAA tournament. 1-11, the Mountain West. So that's Utah State, that's Boise State, that's even San Diego State to a certain extent. But I like Missouri to advance and beat Arizona in the second round. They're not going to be intimidated. They've played some big teams all year. They had a big win at Tennessee. I think Missouri moves on. I like Missouri Creighton in the elite in the Sweet 16.
Oh, nice. I love it. Yeah, they did have that big win earlier in Missouri. They do have a couple nice wins. Daily Handle loves the Creighton. Creighton real good all around. PTP, he says. Primetime player. A little Dick Vitale in there from Daily Handle here on Mean Streets. Man, this is great stuff, Randall. We're going to go. We're going to take a quick break, and we are going to hit up the rest of the regions here. We're going to get a Final Four from Randall Rant on Twitter as well. So keep her locked. We'll be back in a couple. Hang tight. Watching Mean Streets here on Game Plus Network, presented by So Rare. Chris Meany and Mike Randall here with you. Let's move over to the Midwest. And the graphic that you saw earlier wasn't the graphic I was thinking of. We had the Houston Cougar on there. And as you see here, Houston, the number one seed in the Midwest. Also, the tournament odds-on favorite here, at as we just saw on that board. I believe Quanta was plus 425. 475. Yeah, that's over from DraftKings. But use a prop shop parlay calculator to get the best possible odds. So Houston here as the number one seed in the Midwest. North Kentucky, the first matchup here. Miami and Drake, Indiana and Kent State in here. There's a couple of really appealing matchups. Texas A&M and Texas against Colgate, 13.5-point favorites. You mentioned Houston. If you could rank the number one seeds, how would you rank them?
I put Houston third, Chris. Okay. I put Alabama one, Kansas two, very close. Houston three, and Purdue fourth. Houston, really, what they do is Kelvin Sampson has his team playing at such a level, and they're so unique. They are relentless on the boards. They're relentless on defense. You cannot prepare for Houston in your practices, because if your players could do what Houston would do, you would do it in the games. They just come at you in waves. They grab rebounds. That's why they're so tough. But the gentleman you see on that graphic there that Quan just put up, Marcus Sasser, is injured. He did warm up for the conference tournament finals, where they got blown out by Memphis. So they do need a healthy Sasser. I think they get by Northern Kentucky, but his status is going to be critical to see if they can move forward.
Yeah, so they could be in trouble maybe moving on down the road. Do you hate the Drake or like the Drake?
I like the Drake. I've loved Drake for years. Chris, going back to wagering a few years ago, they started the season 18-0 and 18-0 against the spread. I mean, it was a magical, Chris, magical year. But then their point guard, Roman Penn, who's really solid, got injured. They did make the tournament. They did beat Wichita State in the playing game, but they ended up losing in the second round. So they're fully healthy this year. Tucker DeVries is Missouri Valley Conference Player of the Year, the coach's son. They have a veteran team, and their best player is the coach's son. They are very dangerous. I like Miami. I liked Miami all year. Jimmy Larrañaga, George Mason Magic, last year, Elite Eight. I get it, but they are very undersized. And their center, Norchard Omir, who is a transfer, who is 6'8", maybe, but averages 4 offensive rebounds per game. He is injured and did not play. He left in the first minute against Duke, and they lost that game. I don't think he's going to play in this game. If he doesn't play, Chris, they're in trouble. Throw in the fact that it's a 5 versus 12, that is a bad matchup. If Omir was healthy, I would like Miami, and I possibly could put him to the Final Four. But in this case, they're going to be in trouble against Drake.
Well, our guy Quan said in the private message, he hates the Drake. It's a Seinfeld reference in there. It seems to be some like debate. I don't know. I can't keep track of the chat, and I love how active it is here. You're bringing in some new faces with your college basketball expertise, and I love that. And there seems to be like a bit of debate of how good Indiana is, or are they good? Indiana won easily at Purdue. Indiana isn't making a run. Indiana, I like them personally to get by this matchup here, Kent State. Do you feel like they're good enough to go on a run or no?
Yeah, I want to like Indiana. I do. My problem is, first of all, Trace Jackson Davis is fantastic. So in any other situation, I would just put them through, because I think he could have like a Danny Manning like sort of tournament that took Kansas on the run back in 1988. But Indiana lost Xavier Johnson, one of their lead guard, for the season. They've been trying to piece it together without him. They have a freshman in Jalen Hood-Schifino, electric freshman, but he's very volatile, Chris. He can have terrible games. He can be MIA, and then he can drop 35 points like he did in Purdue. If Jalen Hood-Schifino plays like he did in Purdue, absolutely Indiana can make the Final Four because Trace Jackson Davis is that good. But don't look now. Here comes a Kent State team. They are tough. They played on the road at Gonzaga. They covered, lost by single digits. They played on the road at Houston earlier in the year. They only lost by three. They are a very tough defensive team. Sincere Carey, a really good point guard. He is a senior. He is going to be all over Hood-Schifino. I actually picked Kansas State to cover and wouldn't be surprised if they take this game outright. If you like Indiana, it's because you think Hood-Schifino is going to have a big, big game, and he may, but this is a rough matchup here. This is your blow-up bracket. It really is.
Yeah, I was going to ask you if it was, because this is the bracket, and I'm not by any means a college basketball expert here. I follow the sport pretty loosely. I've seen basically 99% of the Jayhawks games this year. I'm a little bit of a homer when it comes to the Kansas Jayhawks, but they did get whooped against Texas in the Big 12. But there are some matchups here where I feel like we really could see some upsets. Yeah. Some red crosses across teams, yep. People's brackets, and maybe just ripped apart in this Midwest region. So what's your favorite upset?
Favorite upset here, the winner of Texas A&M Penn State is going to the Sweet 16. Could be Texas A&M, because a lot of times you've seen the underseeded team, a team that should be a lot higher, like Texas A&M, go on a streak. But Penn State has been real hot. And Chris, more importantly, my wife loves Penn State and she gets these incredible feelings. She predicted Harvard to beat New Mexico back in 2013 NCAA tournament. So she's been all over Penn State. But the winner of that game, I think, is getting past Texas. So absolutely, I like it there. Kennesaw State, Xavier. Xavier's great. I do like a prop in that game. Sule Boom, the point guard, whatever he has over, because he was terrible in the Big East tournament final. I think he has a nice bounce back. But I will warn you with this. Every year, Chris, the play-in game from the 11 seeds, one of those two play-in games gets hot and makes a run. It's happened every year. They've won at least one game. In fact, they usually win more. I remembered I mentioned to you about UCLA just a few minutes ago. Mm-hmm. The winner of Mississippi State-Pittsburgh tonight could absolutely beat Iowa State, who doesn't have their best shooter in Caleb Grill, who was dismissed from the team a couple weeks ago, and could absolutely go through this bracket and make the Elite Eight no problem. So you're right. This is the blow-up bracket. Xavier, great, but missing Zach Fremantle, their star forward. Iowa State, missing Caleb Grill, their shooter. Mississippi State, Pittsburgh, playing game always gets hot. Texas, always. Marcus Carr is really struggling. They have an interim coach. They've been playing above their head really for a lot of the year. Texas A&M, Penn State, both of those have upset possibilities. Yep, this is where you want to take a long shot.
I totally agree with the comment that the play-in games, you always see it. You're right. You always see a team. And it's not like this is a Cinderella, like either one of those teams. It's not like they're a Cinderella squad. They could go on a run. Again, we want to get through all of these regions before our time is up here on Game Plus Network. There's another debate here, and I want to incorporate some of the viewers into this show. And Daily Handle is saying that he thinks potentially Colgate could actually upset Texas. He doesn't see them getting to the Final Four. You kind of alluded to maybe a round two loss from Texas. And then Tailgate says, listen, you could give Colgate a 20-point lead and Texas is going to be able to come back in that game and that they are going to the Final Four. Give me the two teams that end up meeting each other in this region.
In this region... It is really tough. Assuming Sasser's okay, I'll put Houston through to the Elite Eight, but I'm not going to put him through to the Final Four, Chris. And on the bottom, I will take Texas A&M to get through. I can't take Xavier with the playing game and without Fremantle. Right. I'll tell you this. Whoever wins that Texas A&M Penn State game, I'm putting through the Elite Eight. How about that? It's the best I can give you right now.
How about that? Yep. I love it. I love it. I'm here for it. Absolutely fantastic. Basically, I think we've realized that Texas, you know, even though Teddy likes them, maybe as a group here, we're not too confident of them getting to the Final Four, but we'll see. This is good. That is, in my opinion, the toughest bracket really to call, but I think the Kansas Jayhawks bracket, I think that they're in a tough spot. We're going to break and we're going to dive into the West here next on Mean Streets. Keep her locked. Welcome back in, Chris Meany, Mike Randall at Randall Rant here, Mean Streets on Game Plus Network Live and our FTN Network YouTube page. If you're watching here, hanging out with us live, you have a question, leave it there in the comment section. Smash the like button. Randall, I had hockey the other night on Sunday, and I didn't get to see the entire bracket reveal. And then when I got off the ice, of course, I'm sitting there like, who the Jayhawks got? And then I look at this bracket in this region, and I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, there are a lot of tough teams in this region, Quan, if you could bring it up in the West. I mean, UCLA is in here. I don't like that at all. Gonzaga is here. I know that they're not the same sort of team, but Gonzaga is a team that does scare me. And they got some guys that, you know, have been to this point and have been on a run before. You know, Grand Canyon's a fun place to go visit, but I don't think they're going to pull off the upset. Ever been to Grand Canyon?
I have a family member that works out in Grand Canyon, actually.
Wow. Okay. Fantastic. Good times. Taylor Travis in the house. Mike, you are a good man. He really is. He's coming in here hot fire with all kinds of knowledge and all kinds of picks. But tell me I'm wrong here. Like, I feel like this is the toughest path for a one seed. And I think that, I don't know, I feel like Purdue maybe is more vulnerable than Kansas, but obviously no issue here with Howard. But what do you make of this region? And do you believe that this is a very tough path for the Jayhawks?
Chris, let me tell you something. Purdue is not getting out of that second round matchup, but we'll get to that in a little bit later. To me, this was the major bracket here. First of all, Arkansas was a team that preseason everyone loved. They had terrible injuries. Trevon Brazil, 6'10" forward, out with a knee injury earlier this year. Nick Smith, freshman, had knee problems. He was out, but Nick Smith is back. The Arkansas is going to be lethal against Kansas. It really is going to be a phenomenal matchup. The weakness there, Chris, is that Arkansas can't shoot. They have trouble shooting from deep, but they can get you off a dribble penetration, and they will guard you as well. Ricky Council, Wichita State transfer, is their leading scorer. He really wore down Chris at the end of the year because they were basically playing five guys for most of the year, and he really is going to benefit from this rest. I don't like Illinois. I think Kansas-Arkansas is a fantastic second-round matchup. Everyone's picking VCU over St. Mary's, Chris. I just don't see it. St. Mary's is really well coached by Randy Bennett. They play a tough style. Aiden Mahaney, the freshman point guard, is outstanding. VCU, A-10, way down. Only one team this year. They wouldn't even made the tournament if they didn't beat win the A-10 conference tournament. So I don't see that upset. That's the 1-5-12 I just don't see happening. I think St. Mary's is that good. Remember, they beat Gonzaga this year. UConn, Iona, fantastic game. Rick Pitino could be going to St. John's. They interviewed him the other day, Chris, and his response to whether he's leaving Iona was, I haven't been to St. John's in 30 years. I have to use the map to get there. That's not saying no, Rick.
The writing's on the wall, yeah.
Right. Like, I'd say, I like pasta. I like spaghetti. I like martinis. A random comment. It has nothing to do with what he said. So anyway, I think that's a close matchup. Remember, Iona played Alabama a couple of years ago, kept that game very close. So Pitino will have them ready. Bottom half of the bracket wide open as well. It's really tough. Really, really tough.
Yeah, really tough. What do you look into that matchup? I mean, there's a Teddy Boy and Daily Handle having a great back and forth, and you know, the Texas and the Kansas game. Of course, Bill Self wasn't there. Not have your coach there. It does sound like he's going to be with the team here. You know, throughout the tournament, we'll see how deep they go. Nobody really shot the ball well, but Wilson. Do you dive into that match? Is it just one game, or was it telling something to come that maybe this team, Kansas, maybe they do get bounced in like the second round?
Well, Kansas's issue is they haven't had depth all season. Joseph Yesufu, who came from the aforementioned Drake, by the way, is a pretty explosive guard off the bench, but he's only a 15-minute-per-game player. Bill Self will be back. The other one that I think is really important is Kevin McCullough, who came over from Texas Tech. He's a great defender. He's a great player. He has back spasms. So my issue is this. If they're healthy, Self should be back. If they're healthy and McCullough's ready to go, yeah, I like Kansas. I think they'll be fine. But they are very vulnerable against Arkansas in that second round if McCullough is not 100%. He tried to play Chris in the semifinal matchup against Iowa State. He left after 11 minutes. Now, they beat Iowa State, which was impressive, but they need him to win. I don't think they get by Arkansas unless McCullough is healthy.
So in my bracket, I have Gonzaga and UCLA meeting up. I don't know if you agree with that or not, but if these two teams do meet up, who do you give the edge to?
God, I would give the edge to UCLA because I think Gonzaga's in trouble in the first round. It's almost like, Chris, people are trying to force the narrative that for years, Gonzaga, they felt, was overseeded because they were the number one seed, but they don't play anyone, et cetera, which is not true because they have a great non-conference schedule.
Of course.
However, this year, they're almost getting more support because they're not getting the elite top number one seed. guys, Gonzaga has had guard trouble all year long. Their backcourt is very inconsistent. Nolan Hickman, Rasir Bolton have not played well. Yes, they have Drew Timmy inside, but they have struggled all year, and I am not going to all of a sudden jump back on a Gonzaga bandwagon. They're playing Grand Canyon, who I haven't liked, Chris, but Grand Canyon has been scalding hot from three-point range. I'm talking 45-48%. If they get hot against Gonzaga, Gonzaga's in trouble, even with Drew Timmy. So I would like UCLA. I love Mick Cronin. Love what this team is doing, but they have injuries as well. They just lost Jalen Clark, their best defender, and Adam and Dembona, the freshman center, he was out for the Pac-12 tournament. So they have issues as well. That's what makes this bracket so hard, is the dominant, all the dominant teams have warts.
Yeah. Brian's in the house, says, does UCLA have trouble with Timmy if they face Gonzaga after their tough D against Arizona's bigs, right? Do you want to touch? I think you kind of just did, but.
Listen, Timmy will do very well against UCLA. That would be a great matchup. It would be. It'll be in Las Vegas as well in the West. The issue is, the question is, can the Gonzaga guards, if you're backing Gonzaga, you think that their guards are going to play very well in this tournament, better than they've played all year. Julian Strother, who's sort of their go-to player, sort of a weeble, Chris. He doesn't penetrate. He's just a driving kick guy. Like I said, Nolan Hickman, I haven't been impressed with all season. Malachi Smith came over, transfer. He can make a lot of steals, but he's a lot of turnovers. So the inconsistent guard play would really worry me against UCLA. Tiger Campbell, Jaime Jaquez, just as good as they come there in the backcourt.
Oh man, another tough bracket, right? I mean, we just talked about the other one that could really, you know, mess your whole bracket up, the other region, but this one could as well. Let's bring it up one more time, Quan. Let's get maybe your favorite upset pick. I'll put you on the spot. Favorite upset pick, and maybe the two that are going to meet up to get out of this region.
Yeah, I wish Eddie Lampkin was back for TCU, because I would actually put them through the Elite Eight, no problem. My big upset here, I don't think Gonzaga or UCLA makes the Sweet 16. I don't. I think both of them are vulnerable. I think UCLA's injuries catch up with them, and I don't trust Gonzaga. Remember, Chris, look at it there. You either have TCU in round two or the Arizona State-Nevada play-in game. Here we go again. So too many spots for Gonzaga to trip up. I like Northwestern a lot. I think Northwestern is very underrated. People don't think they're very good. They were basically second in the Big Ten all year long. Boo Booey, Chase Audige, really solid backcourt, and they're great defensively. And they've had some big wins as well. So in the Elite Eight, give me TCU. And at the top, assuming Kansas is healthy, they're going through. But if not, I guess I'll go Arkansas versus TCU. That would be my Elite Eight.
Oh, man. Kansas losing to Arkansas.
If Kansas was healthy, I'd take them. If Kansas was healthy, I put them in the Final Four. I need to see McCullough be healthy before I do that. Yes.
Yeah, it's a good call. I feel like they're good, but they're not great. It doesn't seem like the same sort of vibe there. You know, of course, they won the championship last year. All right, one more region to break down. Mike, appreciate it, man. This has been fantastic. Learning a hell of a lot from you, and I think everybody is enjoying it as well. So we will talk about Purdue, which I already know we both don't feel like they're going to go on a run. So we'll be back in a couple to break down the final region here on Mean Streets. We're back one final time here with Mike Randall. He's saying, I think he's rocking out in between the break. If you're watching live on our FTN Network YouTube page, shout out to Vance McLeod, father-in-law, made the song intro to Mean Streets. Also Dangabat Selly, son of Loud. He's fantastic, man. He gets on the guitar and he made it like 5 minutes. He just came to him and he just is just like, man, this is fantastic. Awesome. Teddy Boy and Daily Handle. You guys are at it. And I love it. I love the back and forth. I love the conversations. It's fun, man. Nobody can predict it. Really. Like, you're fantastic. And I would imagine you're going to nail a lot of your picks, but this is madness after all. Like, things happen, upsets happen. Things are crazy. These are kids, right? On the biggest stage of their lives, anything can happen. So let's get into the final region here. East region, and we chatted about Purdue. It seems to be everybody's pick, really. Let's be honest. Purdue, they're not going to get by the second round, whether it's Memphis or Florida Atlantic. I really like Memphis, man. I don't want to overlook Florida Atlantic, but I like this Memphis squad. I don't know how you feel about that. We have Duke here. Another trendy upset seems to be Oral Roberts. Tennessee, 10.5-point favorites at Louisiana. Kentucky, 4-point favorites against Providence. Kansas State, right? I mean, they had a really decent year as well. Matchup against Montana State, Michigan State, they're 2-point favorites. And I really do like Marquette as a team. They may be my favorite squad here in the East, but you, sir, take it away. What do you make of this bracket or region?
I have learned historically, Chris, to stay true to the teams that I have liked all year. I loved Cornell years ago, but I didn't like their first round matchup. So I got scared away from it. They make the Sweet 16. The team I have pounded the table for all year, like Kyle Shanahan, has been Florida Atlantic.
Okay.
I have watched this team all year long. They have the Loyola Chicago. They have the George Mason. They have the St. Peter's. Look, this is a team that if you look at their metrics, they are fantastic. Florida Atlantic, top 30 in adjusted offense, top 30 in adjusted defense. That hits that magical Ken Pom top 50, top 30 run team that you need to make the Final Four. They are great defensively. They are great on the defensive boards. They are number 11 in the country at guarding the interior. I think their tougher game is Memphis. If they beat Memphis, I think they are absolutely in the Sweet 16. They make their threes. They won at Florida. They beat tough teams all year long. And all I heard, Chris, is that they were going to lose to UAB in the Conference USA tournament. Jelly Walker, one of the lethal scorers in the backcourt, like a Kendrick Davis from Memphis, they couldn't handle him. They beat them 78-56 and destroyed them. This team is a problem. This team is dangerous. Purdue better pray that Florida Atlantic loses to Memphis. They want no part of this team. They switch screens. They're great on defense. They press you. They make threes. Vladislav Golden, the 7'1" guy inside, he just doesn't foul. His hands are straight up. He would contain Edie a little bit. I love Florida Atlantic. I'm sorry. I'm done with my rant, sir.
Oh, man. Are you kidding me? That was fantastic. I absolutely love it. I already got it written down here for a clip, Quan. Roll that one up as well. We have Bobby in the house says, just have to hope Davis doesn't go off for 50, which could happen.
No. Bobby, let me tell you something, Bobby. Didn't we hear that about Jelly Walker? Didn't we hear that Jordan Walker was going to go nuts, huh? How'd that turn out? I don't think it's going to matter. You want to hit the Davis over prop? I'm fine with that. Kendrick Davis is incredible. Yeah. But I think Florida Atlantic gets by him.
Yeah, Kendrick Davis, a hell of a player. Love it. I love the brand. I love that call as well. But Purdue really is a team that we're not really buying as a team that can go deep here. Or what do you think about them overall?
Yeah, my only issue, Chris, is that when teams have pressed them, they've struggled. I don't have a clue why Penn State didn't press them before the end of the game, but they turned a 17-point deficit into a 2-point loss in about 4 minutes by doing it. Florida Atlantic, and Memphis for that matter, is the type of team that is going to get up and guard you. The perimeter players are freshmen. They're young. They've been solid. They're not great from the free throw line, Purdue. Zach Edey is incredible. He's the runaway player of the year. He's been dominant. He's improved. He makes his free throws. I just think that if you get up on Purdue and turn this into a track meet, you limit Edey. I think whoever wins this game goes forward. I just really think it's Florida Atlantic. I like Purdue. It's just their backcourt is inexperienced. They're not great from the free throw line, and they've shown vulnerability getting pressed. That's a lot of issues for a number one seed who's going to be playing two really athletic teams, one or two of them in the second round.
We only got about 2 minutes left, Quan. If we can bring this up one more time, I really want you to touch on Duke and Oral Roberts, as people are really calling Oral Roberts. And Duke, I feel like they've kind of getting a little bit more experience down the stretch here. I would love for you to touch on that. Maybe your upset pick of just the first couple days. And then, of course, the two teams you think will meet up.
Sure. Chris, the reason people are picking Oral Roberts is here's the idea. Everyone's talking about how Duke has won 9 in a row and they really have figured it out. Okay, let's think this through. Here's their 9-game winning streak, Chris. Notre Dame home by 4. Congratulations. Not in the tournament. Syracuse away. Not in the tournament. Louisville home. Need I say more? Virginia Tech home. Not in the tournament. NC State, 1-1 win. North Carolina away. Not in the tournament. Pittsburgh, they blew out. Great win. That's an impressive win. Miami, they beat without Omer, who goes out in the first minute. And Virginia without Ben Vanderplas. So they are very vulnerable. They're a young team. John Shire, first-year coach, only 5 times, Chris, since 1985, has a first-year coach taken a team to the Elite Eight and beyond here. So that's why they like Oral Roberts. If you want to look at the bracket overall, some games that I'm looking at, I just wrote this up for FTN. Bryce Hopkins from Providence going back to play Kentucky, where he left and transferred from. So that has some little drama there. And don't look now. We're going to sleep on Tom Izzo. 19-12, 7 seed. Gets a nice matchup against USC. I love Marquette. I love what I saw from Marquette. But I think it's a Michigan State-Marquette matchup. And the winner of that game could make the Final Four.
Okay, I love it. I don't want to take anything away from your show, but do you want to share like a Final Four? I don't know if you've locked it in, or do you want to share maybe one sleeper team out of all of it that you think could potentially get to the Final Four?
Yeah, well, I'm still finalizing it, so I'll have it out there tomorrow. Mike Cucci and I are doing brackets as well tonight, so I'm still going through the machinations. But I will tell you this. I think Alabama's going, so I will have them through. I think they're going to beat Creighton, so I have them. That's my one seed. Outside of that, Chris, I'm telling you, this Florida Atlantic team can absolutely make the Final Four. I believe in them completely. I think they can make a run. I don't like the two seeds. I don't like Texas at all. I don't like UCLA because I think they're injured. If Bona comes back, maybe they can get there. But you could see a run from a team like in Arkansas or somebody like that. So what I can give you now, love Alabama, love Florida Atlantic. I think the Midwest is the blow-up bracket unless Sasser is completely healthy for Houston. And at the bottom here, don't be surprised if you don't see Kansas or UCLA or Gonzaga anywhere near the Elite Eight. That's the one that I think could get a little tricky.
It's always a blast, man. And it's always a blast to talk to you. Appreciate the time, man. That was a wealth of knowledge. Are you kidding me? That is fantastic stuff. Go check out Mike Randall today, College Basketball Betting Show. I believe two shows coming your way. We have a lot of college basketball content. A link inside the description of this video to get into our free March Madness bracket with some FTN swag up for grabs. FAU, we're here, Quan, 49-20. Let's clip it, dude. thank you so much, Kutri. That'll be great as well. You guys will get together today and walk through the entire bracket. That's must watch right there. Thank you so much, Mike, for doing this, man. I really, really do appreciate it. And again, a lot of goodness over at ftnbets.com. Free trials as well, so check it out over at ftnbets.com/free. Thank you so much, Mike. A couple NHL picks to round out Mean Streets. We'll be back in a couple. Oh, that was fantastic. All right, 12 games on the ice tonight in the NHL. I'm leading here with Jason Zucker of the Pittsburgh Penguins. I mean, I don't know if there's a guy hotter than him right now in the NHL. He's got 9 goals over his last 9 games. He has 12 shots on goal in his past 2. I like the point prop, minus 128 for a point. I think it's moved slightly since we talked about it over at Dangle Batselli, but it is one of my favorite plays of the day. He's plus 220 for an apple as well. The second half of a back-to-back for the Canadiens. They allowed 8 goals last night. This is just not a good hockey team. Pittsburgh fighting for their playoff lives. Zucker playing inside that top 6, getting some power play time. I like the over 2.5 for his shots as well. As I mentioned, 12 in his last 2 games, and he's cleared 2.5 in 3 of his last 4. Some other parlays and some point props here for you. I mean, Nino Niederreiter, a heat check time as well for this guy. He's got points in 6 straight games. This is a guy who averaged under 16 minutes per game in his first 48 games with the Nashville Predators. He's on the top line of Winnipeg. He's on the first power play. It's a bit of a tougher matchup, although the Hurricanes are struggling to find offense right now. Andrei Svechnikov is going to miss the rest of the regular season. I actually like Winnipeg to win this game at plus 170, but Nito Niederreiter for a point at plus 100. I also have him for over 1.5 shots. He's cleared 2.5 shots in 5 of his last 6 games. Really good, nice price for the 3.5, but I believe Bet Rivers is offering 1.5 at minus 130-ish, and I like that. Kuzmenko, let's ride this out with him. Just like Dawson Mercer, he's not on the board, but I like him to hit the score sheet tonight. But Kuzmenko has points in 9 of his last 11 games and 14 over that span. These 4 guys I love for shot props, Patrick Laine, Tyler Toffoli, Boone Jenner, and Zach Hyman, they're just really, really juiced. So I took them, put them into a parlay, lining it to Foley at plus 155 over at DraftKings, Jenner and Hyman plus 155 over at DraftKings as well. Golden Knights in 60 against the Philadelphia Flyers. I'd like Jack Eichel to score. I like Jake Guentzel to score. And I got a whole lot more in our FTN bet tracker. And again, free trial, so no excuse. Head on over there, ftnbets.com/free to check it out. Also, Dangle Bet Sally here on our FTN Network YouTube page. Good luck on the ice. We'll be back tomorrow. Cheers.